Welcome to the Family Finance Show with Diana Granu, proudly brought to you by Old Mutual. This podcast is your weekly guide to effective budgeting, planning, and future-proofing of your family's finances. Because money matters to every family, and every family matters at Old Mutual. Enjoy the show.
My name is Diana, and this is the Family Finance Show, the podcast to help you manage your family's finances better. Every week, we share an episode on topics relating to increasing your family's income and managing expenses, controlling your debt, and investing for the future. Today, my guest is Jikku Joseph, the Managing Director of 22/7. Welcome to the Family Finance Show, Jikku, and thanks so much for your time today. Jikku, I recently downloaded the 22/7 app, having never used a budgeting app before, and I was blown away, actually. I was amazed at how easy it was to use, and I was kind of kicking myself for all the time I'd spent doing manual spreadsheets all my life up until this point. So I really found the experience really good, especially the categorization. I've tried to use my bank had a website where you can do some budgeting on their website, and I found the categorization was so bad. I just had to manually categorize about 90% of my bank transactions, so it didn't save me any time, and I just kind of went back to my spreadsheet budgeting. But like, I really found what stood out for me was like how well you guys automatically categorize things like school fees. Groceries are easy, but like other things, I was really surprised at. And I also really liked the reporting that I got, your insights and your, I think there's something like a top five merchants that we spend on every month. Like really, that was just really useful. So I went and imported all my bank statements for the last 12 months so I could actually use these reports a bit better. But well done. The app is really, really, really good. I think you've done like a really excellent job with it. How long has it been in the market for?
So 22/7 was founded in 2011. So actually been around for 9 years now.
And what are some of the other benefits of using a budgeting app rather than like using a manual spreadsheet like I did before? So for me, it was clearly time saving. Like as soon as I downloaded the app, it was clear to me that like I'd save a lot of time doing this. And the insights were also very beneficial. But what are other reasons for people to use a budgeting app rather than doing it manually?
One of the most important ones is the fact that it's not based on assumptions. You know, most of the times we think that we are spending X, Y, or Z on a particular category of spend. And because of, you know, the difficulty of tracking your spend manually, you know, downloading CSVs from your bank or downloading PDFs from your bank and then inputting that into a spreadsheet is quite time consuming. So then we start to revert to our natural human estimation mechanisms, and you know, behavioral science teaches us that actually most people tend to under exaggerate or over exaggerate, over exaggerate the good things and maybe under exaggerate the bad things. So think you're spending, for example, $500 on eating out and takeouts, but you know, in reality you're spending close to 2,000 rand per month on eating out and takeout. So one of the benefits of automating the process of collecting your information and having that categorized is the real numbers are shine through. So you actually get a true reflection of where your money is going. And you know, I mean, obviously you've hit the nail on the head, right, Diana? The biggest benefit of using an app, the most beneficial part is saving time. You know, we've got so much going on in our lives, and to have an app that automates the process of, like I said, you know, manually collecting the spreadsheets and inputting them and then classifying them, that's a huge time saver. But then obviously also seeing the values unadulterated.
Mm, exactly. Because I think people always have a budget in their head. They get paid a certain salary and they haven't, as you said, they just have a rough idea of where the money goes, rent or food and these kinds of things. But when they see how much they spend on eating out, for example, that was a great example because I was chatting to a friend over dinner on the weekend, and he was saying he was really surprised at how much eating out came to. He never thought about it, and it just all adds up at the end of the month. So being able to see that, just the cold hard facts, can help you to change your behavior, which is so beneficial and for so little effort. I mean, you just have to connect your bank account and kind of away you go. Which is one of the things that I think I wanted to talk about a little bit, was connecting your bank account. So people feel hesitant about inputting their banking password. I did, even though I knew that the app was totally safe, because you've been educated so much by your bank and other people to not give away your password. So maybe you can just talk a bit about how safe it is to enter your banking details into the app.
You know, for many people, and rightly so, you know, we should always be cautious about how we treat our credentials for our, you know, our banks, the some of the most sensitive credentials that we have. The truth is, you know, for many apps around the world that do the same type of thing that we do at 22/7, it's commonplace for this type of practice. You know, I listened to the podcast interview that you had with Warren Ingram, and, you know, you talked about the data aggregation method that we use at 22/7, and how it's commonplace now for many banks. In fact, other banks in South Africa use similar sort of aggregation techniques to collect data. So it's not uncommon for this to occur, but you do need to do your homework, and you do need to ensure that you're entering your credentials into a reputable entity. You know, and some of what we talk about when we want to give customers that sense of security around entering their credentials is the fact that we've been around for 9 years now. We've got over 350,000 South Africans who've linked 1 million accounts securely to 22/7. And, you know, we know for a fact that our business and the future of our business rests on how seriously we take security. So it's something that we're always concerned about, and we treat very seriously. Some of the things that we've put in place is, you know, the levels of encryption that we use. So the data that is stored on 22/7, including your credentials from the point they're entered into 22/7, are encrypted at banking levels of encryption. No human eyes ever see those credentials. They're encrypted at the point of entry, and they are stored in an encrypted form. At the same time, the service itself, so 22/7 itself, is a read-only service. So if someone ever had to get your 22/7 credentials, they would not be able to do anything on your underlying bank accounts. So the bank accounts that you've connected to 22/7 would not be accessed from within 22/7 to transact. So no one could pay somebody else or move money between accounts. Our service is purely read-only. So we only give you the life-changing information that helps you improve your financial situation. The other important thing that we do, like most other banks do as well, is ensure the service. So most banks have what they would call cyber insurance protection. And just like your bank, we are also insured for those unforeseen circumstances. But we don't expect that ever to happen. And, you know, if that did, you can be rest assured that your money would be safe.
I really like what you said about it being life-changing, because it really can be life-changing. I entered the credentials for all of my accounts, so I can see an aggregated view, which I also liked. So I entered my investment account details, my transactional banking and everything. And seeing it all in one place and having access to all of that data and seeing where you spend your money can really help you to change your habits, because spending money is just a habit like anything else. So if you have a habit of buying a coffee every morning on your way to work, that habit will show up so clearly in the app, and it will probably provide you some motivation to try and change your spending habits, so that instead of spending on coffee, you could do something like save for whatever you want to save for a holiday, for a car, for a house. And specifically, I wanted to chat about saving for a baby. So here we talk about financial topics related to families, and having a child is one of those really transforming experiences in life, but also something that's can be quite expensive. and especially if you haven't planned for it. So the, I know there's functionality in the app on savings goals. I haven't set up any yet, so I haven't used that functionality. But how would you use something like that to plan for saving for a baby? Would you just have a category baby and put a budget to it? Or how would a person go about doing that?
So maybe we can, you know, we could start by talking about how you get to that point, right? So if you think about what 22/7 is trying to do, it's really about helping someone track their expenses and make sure that they're spending within their means, you know, spending within your income. And one of the primary reasons why you want to spend within your income is to, well, avoid debt. So, you know, protect myself from getting into very expensive debt, but then also start to free disposable income that I can then start to use towards these types of savings goals. And, you know, if we start with the short-term part of, you know, how do I start preparing for when I'm about to have a child? There are two lenses that you can apply, right? The one is, how do I make sure that on a month-to-month basis, I actually have enough to allow for all the expenses that are about to arise as a result of being pregnant and, you know, about to have the child. And then once you've had your child, you know, it's all those additional expenses that most parents actually underestimate in terms of how you look after your child, the education and the medical costs that come with having a child after your child is born. So, you know, if we think about how 22/7 can help with that, it's primarily around the budget itself. So, if I think back to my experience, you know, I've got a 3-year-old girl, so it's been about 3 years since we've had our little one. But it's completely transformed the way that we budget in our household. You know, we've got specific categories that we've put in place for our little one. You know, we've got a children. So one of the categories that you can use on 22/7 is a children and dependents category. And I've set that category up for all the expenses that we would use to pay for, our little girl's diapers, you know, some of the clothing that we buy for her on a month-to-month basis. Our medical aid costs have gone up because when you add an additional dependent, your costs of medical aid go up. We do have an allowance for, you know, an unforeseen health and medical expense that may come up from month to month on the basis of, you know, is she healthy this month or is she not? Because as you know, little ones are still building their immune systems. So making sure that you have enough in the budget.
The cost of pediatricians is extremely high, so that definitely surprised me after my first child. The cost of medical care for children is extremely high.
Exactly, and you know we don't actually think about those things at the outset. You know, before we're about to embark on this journey of having a child, which is why it's important to start planning. You know, even when you're pregnant, or you know, ideally before you are pregnant, is start allowing for the fact that you're going to need to allocate some of your money towards looking after your little one. And the benefit of having something like 22/7 is you can actually see where all your money is going, what expenses elsewhere in your budget you can afford to reduce so that you can make allowance for this really, really important part of your life. And like I said, it's things like, you know, personal care products for your little one, allowing for health and medical costs, you know, expensive pediatricians. And then also those once-off costs at the beginning, you know, the costs of a crib and prams and baby carriers and, you know, home safety equipment, all of that adds up. So the first thing, you know, I would say from a 22/7 perspective, you know, where 22/7 can help, or, you know, a budgeting app can help, is see where your expenses are going, allow for all those aspects of spend that are coming up in the near term. And then, you know, start living as soon as you can within the allowances that you've given yourself outside of those, you know, those expenses that are still coming up, and start to get used to that quality of life, or that style, you know, that life cost of living. And when the baby arrives, the impact on your day-to-day life is minimal because you've managed to get yourself into that rhythm.
Indeed. And what were some of the things that surprised you about? Were there any big surprises where you hadn't budgeted for something or were just surprised at the cost of something after the birth of your daughter?
So I guess I never anticipated how many diapers I would be buying. the cost of diapers and the sheer volume of diapers that you buy.
We actually went the reusable route, which was less for cost, actually more for the environmental reasons, although it does use a lot of water because you're washing them all the time. But for me, the surprise was the vaccines. Like, I just, all those once-off vaccines in the first sort of 3 months of their lives are super expensive. I just didn't think about that before having children. So that was pretty unexpected for me. And then also childcare, that's a big cost. If both parents decide to go back to work, it adds quite a substantial amount to your budget. And that's something that you do need to plan for if you are planning to go back to work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sure, childcare is a big cost. You know, we had the luxury, my wife is stay at home, and that's a really important job that she takes on. But we were fortunate enough for the first year and a half of our little one's life. My wife was able to be at home with her, but yeah, it does add up. And now, you know, now she's at daycare. And that is a significant cost.
Indeed, daycare is also significant, probably as significant as a full-time nanny. So, yeah, I think that these are all things that you have to discuss in your family, because it depends on what your values are, what you prioritize. So depending on what you prioritize, you'll have a totally different budget. Like, for example, yourself and myself, we would have had different budgets for babies, as will anyone else who's listening to the shows. But the important thing is to actually sit down and think about it before the child comes, so that you're not caught short budget-wise.
Yeah, I think another important thing to bear in mind, you know, when you're about to have a child, is it's quite an emotional experience. You know, there's a lot of hype around having a child, and you know, you really want to give your child the best. And oftentimes we can mistake giving our child the best in the short term versus giving our child the best over the long term. So, you know, one of the common mistakes that many people make, and, you know, we were very fortunate enough that I have two brothers who had children before I did. And, you know, I learned from some of the lessons that they, you know, they were able to learn when they had their first two kids. You don't necessarily have to go out there and buy the best pram or buy the best carrier or buy the best, you know, home safety equipment because you want to give your child the best. You know, there's so much value you can, you know, bestow upon your child in the long run if you use the funds that you have more smartly in the earlier part of their childhood. And, you know, it's definitely, don't, you know, you don't have to think twice about using secondhand goods for, you know, for the types of things that I just mentioned, you know, hand-me-downs for car seats and baby carriers and prams. You'll find friends or family who do have those things, and it's absolutely fine to reuse those. You know, and you mentioned environment just now, right, Diana? Not just from a cost point of view, but also for the environment. You know, part of us looking after our children is making sure that we're doing our bit to protect the planet, right? Because we want to make sure that when they inherit the planet from us, that it's in an inhabitable state. You know, so. You know, don't be, I think there's so much hype associated with trying to buy, you know, these expensive things at the outset of a child's life. But if you save that money and put that towards, you know, goals, like we were, you know, like we were going down, you know, that path of saving for the long term for your children, that will have so much more value in the lifetime of your child.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more with that sentiment. I mean, that's exactly what we felt. So our nursery, for example, was all secondhand, a secondhand cot, most of the stuff we bought for the nursery was secondhand because we didn't prioritize that as much as medical care, for example. And the reusable nappies for the environment. And also actually for For my son, I've got a friend who's got a child, two boys who are slightly older than my little boy, who's about to turn 3 in December. And we get all our clothes are hand-me-down from her, which is amazing. And then we just recycle them. We send them. It's amazing. We send them back to her, and she gives them to the next little boy that she knows who's a bit younger than our boy. And you're saving money and you're saving the environment. So like, for me, that was just perfect. And there's no shame in using secondhand clothes. Your children don't really care, and neither should you. There's more important things.
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Hey, I've also been really fortunate to have two brothers who have two girls, who've passed down toys and clothing, and yeah, absolutely. You know, this your child, as long as your child is in clothes, I can assure you they will be so cute. They will be so cute. Your child is so cute, regardless of what they wear on every photo that you take.
Spoken like a true parent. So Jiku, my last question is a question that I ask everyone that comes on the show, and that is, what is the best piece of financial advice that you would like to pass on to your daughter?
I guess it's time. You know, it's the power of starting early. You know, we were going to talk, if my daughter was to have another child, you know, the earlier she can start for her child, like I've started for her, the better it will be for, you know, for the outcome. You know, I've started a savings product for Anya's education. You can take out a tax-free savings product for your child at the point that they're born, as soon as they have an ID number. But the earlier you start, the more time you give your money to grow. That's probably the most important thing that you can do when you're thinking about long-term investing or growing your money or making sure that you have enough at the point you need it, is give your money as much time as possible in the market in order to get to that outcome. If I had to pick one thing, I would say it's give your money the benefit of time. Start as early as you can.
Jiku, where can people find the 22/7 app?
So, Diana, they can find the 22/7 app at www.22/7.com. That's the word, the number 22 and the word 7, so 22/7.com. It's free to use, right? So there's no cost involved with signing up for the app and using the app on an ongoing basis. If you don't want to use the desktop version, which is available at 22/7.com, you're also able to download the app if you're on iOS on the App Store, and on Android on the Google Play Store.
And it's such a lot of value. I actually couldn't believe it was free when I downloaded it. You guys are offering a lot of value for a free app. So thanks on behalf of everyone.
Hey, no problem. For us, it's about building a financially strong South Africa, and a financially strong South Africa helps us all.
Jiku, thank you so much for your time on the show today. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me, Diana. It was great to be here.
And if you'd like to hear more episodes like this, please don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to stay on the journey to improving your family's financial well-being.
Thank you for listening to the Family Finance Show with Diana Granu. Proudly brought to you by Old Mutual. The time is now to own your financial future. Visit oldmutual.co.za for more great advice, articles, free budgeting tools and calculators, or to find a financial advisor. We'll be back next week.